I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. As summer approaches, we'll give you a sneak peek of the big summer films coming up, and we'll ask if the film's casts are as diverse as the audiences who want to go see them. But first, there have been so many stories lately about layoffs and buyouts in companies and industries around the country that we can understand if you've missed this one. But this is a story about the storytellers. Nearly 700 minority journalists left the nation's newsrooms over the past year. They were part of a contraction in the business that left 4.4% fewer people overall working in newsrooms last year than the year before. Now, that might not sound like a lot, but since 2001, the nation's newsrooms have lost 3,800 full-time journalists. Why are they leaving? And with the departure of so many journalists of color, will the industry ever reach the goal of having the percentage of minorities working in newsrooms match the percentage of minorities in the population? Joining us to talk about this are George DeLama, managing editor for news at the Chicago Tribune. He left his paper last week after more than 30 years there. Athalia Knight, director of the Young Journalist Development Program for The Washington Post, she is leaving her paper after more than 30 years, along with more than 100 others who recently decided to take a buyout. And L.A. Chung, a journalist who recently left the San Jose Mercury News. Welcome to you all.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lisa, why did you want to be a journalist?
That old saw of afflicting the powerful and helping the powerless. Even the most cynical journalist believes in a sense of mission, that what you're doing is aiding democracy.
Do you feel you've been able to do that over the course of your career?
I think of my time as a columnist for the San Jose Mercury News when I had the opportunity to highlight small stories in a community that people might not normally see. And this I view specifically as my identity, as someone who understands through my parents what, say, the immigrant experience has been. For example, my husband is a Mexican, and my aging father, who is now 91, and himself an immigrant, at one point over the dinner table, referred to what Mexican-Americans or Mexicans are going through right now as very similar to what Chinese went through earlier in the last century.
Mm-hmm. I see.
That kind of sense of finding commonality and similarities and recognizing that the debate has not changed a lot, but simply the faces of the people had changed was very illuminating. And I found a way of writing about those sorts of things in a very human level.
I want to talk more about that in a minute, but about what you think, why you think diversity in the industry is important. And this is one of the things you're touching on here. George, I wanted to ask you, why did you want to be a journalist?
I, too, am the son of immigrants. My father never finished high school, but he loved to read. He loved to read newspapers, and he passed on that love to me. And as I got older, I wanted to make a difference. I got inspired by some teachers who instilled in me a love for reading and for wanting to write. And I wanted to tell stories and explain the part of the city I grew up in, which I didn't read very much about anywhere. And I wanted to explain to people about people like us, who were different from everybody else, it seemed.
Is there a story that you're particularly proud of you want to tell us about?
Oh, my God. As a young reporter, before I was a correspondent, I did a series on Latino street gangs in Chicago, spending a lot of time with gangs that included kids I had grown up with, one of whom I hadn't seen in a while, and since the last time I'd seen him, he'd been shot in the face through one side and out the other. And that brought that issue to general spotlight that it hadn't had in Chicago for some time. And it was something that I had grown up around. But I've just been so fortunate. I've had a career where I worked with you covering the White House. I was a foreign correspondent. I covered wars and got to go all over the world and have somebody else pay for it. So all of it has been a great ride.
Yeah, let's not talk about our expenses from the White House, George. Just keep that to ourselves, shall
yeah.
we? Athalia, you mentioned that being a journalist is all you ever wanted to be. Why is that?
I always was curious and always asked questions. I always found people interesting. And then when I discovered that there was a profession where you could actually ask people questions and put their business in a paper and just, you know, get paid for it. And so I just, you know, think that it's a profession that where you can make a difference. I still think you can make a difference. I still think that there are going to be people out there who are going to want to read the newspaper. I think there are going to be people out there who are going to want to hold it in their hands. But I also think that there are people out there who are going to read it online, which is why I'm delighted that a lot of the high school students who are working with us and working with our program, they're now multimedia journalists. They're putting videos and audios and their stories on our website. I think that they are the generation who are going to help us move to the next level, because the world is changing.
And you're too modest to mention this, but I can mention it. I think your paper nominated you for a Pulitzer Prize 5 times. Is there a story that you're particularly proud of that you want to talk about?
Well, there's just been a number of stories over the years, but I think the highlight is the opportunity to spend a year at a high school in 1986-87 to do the series on McKinley High School, which talked about urban high school and what was happening in high school. I'm most proud of that story because it did make a difference. There were a lot of folks who got involved in D.C. public schools after that. To my surprise, some of I didn't even know about until years later. You know, as a sports writer, I was in an airport reading a Washingtonian, reading a piece about Carl Rowan, who started this Project Excellence, where they were giving out scholarships. And he said that he had been moved by a story about, you know, kids not wanting to be recognized at McKinley High School. And that's the series that I did back in 1987. And little did I know, you know, that he had, you know, been moved by that series to start that program that gave millions of scholarships to students.
Athalia, I think it's only fair to tell people that you and I are very old friends. You were one of the first people I met when I got started in the business. I've considered you a mentor as well as a friend. Why did you decide to take the Washington Post buyout? Is it no more mountains left to climb?
No, it's not that. I've been a reporter. And that's all I ever wanted to be in life. But then for the last 8 years, I've been working with the Young Journalist Development Program, working with young people at high school and college level interested in careers in journalism. But I also look at my life, and I'm not getting any younger. And so when this generous offer was presented to me from the Post, I sort of said, I think I'll do it.
George, I should also mention that you and I are also old friends and colleagues. And you, in addition to your many accomplishments as a distinguished reporter, you were also only the second Latino ever to work at the Tribune. You were the first Latino ever to appear on the masthead. Why are you leaving?
I have, as you mentioned, been here 30 years. I started as a summer intern when I was 21. And for some time, I have the desire to see what else is out there. So it seemed to me that it's time to get on with it. When the Tribune offered a buyout a few months ago, I decided to put my hand up. And sometimes it's just time, and now it's time for me.
L.A., what about you? You've been in newsrooms for more than 2 decades yourself. All of you are too young to retire, by the way, so I hope we're not going to be hearing any of that nonsense. But what about you?
I was laid off. And so that's a completely different kind of dynamic, of course. And that touches upon the sense of dread that a lot of journalists have these days.
We'll talk more about that.
If you're in a newsroom nowadays, I think you notice an undercurrent of unease because there are buyouts, layoffs, declining circulation, certainly evidence that people under 45 don't really read newspapers or pay attention that much to broadcast television. And so as you have over the past couple of years a real growing sense that what you do and the sense of mission you have is irrelevant to a good portion of the population, it leads not only to a sense of sadness but also of dread that your profession is dying.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News, and I'm speaking with George DeLama of the Chicago Tribune, Athalia Knight of the Washington Post, and L.A. Chung, who recently left the San Jose Mercury News, about all the changes in the journalism profession and the newspaper business in general. The American Society of Newspaper Editors has been tracking employment in the newspaper business and diversity issues specifically for 30 years. The 30th anniversary of the survey was 2008. They started doing that as a direct result of the findings of the Kerner Commission, which came into play after the 68 riots. One of the things that they've pointed out is that minority journalists, and this is talking about journalists of all ethnic minorities, are only about 13% of the number of journalists working full-time. Now, African Americans alone are 13% of the population, right? So you add in, you know, Latinos and Asian Americans and Native Americans, populations. We're a very long way from sort of parity with the population. George, as a person who's been on all sides of this, as a correspondent yourself, as a person who has to hire people, why do you think it is that it's that parity seems so far away? And are you worried about ongoing diversity in the business?
Oh, absolutely. I worry about it. There is a problem in the business. And one of the things I told the staff, I sincerely hope I'm not the last Latino on the masthead of the paper. We've not done well enough either here or anywhere else at growing minorities through the pipeline for major leadership roles. I think I'm about one of the highest ranking Latinos in the nation. And
that's
true. That's ridiculous.
But why do you think that is? I mean, you've been on both sides of the issue. You've been a person who hires people and mm-hmm. sometimes, unfortunately, probably has to fire people. And mm-hmm. and you've been a person on the receiving end of being hired. So what do you think the issue is? Why do you think it seems to be so slow going?
I think there are a number of factors. Partly is under the financial pressure that the whole industry finds itself in. And that's unfortunate because one of the things I've always argued here is that diversity is not just a nice thing to do or the right thing to do. It's both of those. But it's also, it's good business. It's essential in a city like Chicago. We're the second largest Latino city in the United States, mostly Mexican. There are more people of Mexican descent here than in Acapulco. It's absolutely imperative that we have people who can go out in that community and understand that community and sell our product in that community. So it's also essential to good business, and I think people are losing sight of that.
Lisa, the percentage of minority employment in newspapers has been pretty flat for 20 years. The issue generally over the past couple of years has not been so much hiring as retention, that you know newspapers hire journalists of color, but they don't stay. Do you have any thoughts about why that is?
It has to do with opportunity. That's why I'm actually a little bit sad to hear someone like George is leaving the business, because it also requires commitment at the top, not only to hire, but also to groom and to promote. After this last go-around of layoffs, one of the veteran members of the newspaper, who had been there for about 30 years, was just lamenting, and this is a white woman, not a person of color, that the newsroom in San Jose was looking more like it did 30 years ago. And that all the gains that had been made had been lost.
It's interesting, the ASNE figures for women in the newsroom, women are only about 37% of full-time staffers in daily newspapers, which is interesting to think about. Athalia, why do you think that is? I mean, you're a person who's mentored young people, including myself, for many, many years.
Well, no, I think that Lisa is right, that you do need a mandate from the top to help young people know that, you know, they're valued and we really want them to stay and that type of thing. And as the industry is changing now, I think it's becoming more apparent and there's an urgency that you are going to want people to feel valued, that you want people to stay. Because when you get a really, really good reporter, other papers want them or other media outlets want them, including TV and radio. And so you really have to have a commitment.
While we're talking about young people, we're down to our last couple of minutes. I wanted to ask each of you if you have advice for them.
Yeah, I give it all the time.
So you're ready.
No, really, I give it all the time. And I really sort of say, don't run for the hills. You know, like, yes, the industry is changing. But if you're passionate about journalism, stick with it. Make sure you become multimedia journalists. Make sure you do internships in the summertime. Make sure you get out there and really work. You don't have to major in journalism, but really work on your school paper or the campus paper. But now, actually, you know, you work with the website, work with blogs, do all those things to get your skills together.
But what do you say to kids who say, look, why do this? It's hopeless. I mean, I get my skills together and then I'm going to get laid off when I'm 35.
Well, the thing of it is, if you're thinking that, then you really don't need to go in the business.
Well, Michelle, I would say,
George,
you might be laid off when you're 35, but what I tell young people constantly is the kind of career that I've had. It was a storybook career, but I'm a dinosaur already. Very few people are going to work, or that Ophelia's had, very few people are going to work 30 years at one place.
Sure.
You're probably going to work at a number of different places and maybe have more than one career. So I always tell them, take advantage of every opportunity you have in every job you have. Suck the marrow. Take every experience out of it. Get everything you have coming and grow as much as you possibly can at each stage, because, A, that'll tell you when it's time for you to move on to something else, and B, it'll better prepare you for whatever's next. And that's what they have to keep their eye on. And the other thing, I want to go back, I totally agree with Othelia that journalism has immense power and immense promise. And I believe that ultimately journalism is going to lead the way to find the solutions that are bedeviling our industry. It'll have a different form, perhaps, but there will be more. Right now, at Chicago Tribune, we have more readers than ever when you count online and the Red Eye paper and the main newspaper. And those people are always going to need that kind of high-quality information, and they're going to need people they can trust to give it to them.
Lisa, final thought from you. What, do you have some thoughts for young people having had a bittersweet experience?
Like, I call it a bittersweet experience, but I don't want to call it really bitter in the sense of I feel a tremendous amount of opportunity personally. And I think for anyone who has a lot of passion for what journalism is and what it can do, they can find a way. And the forms of telling stories will change, but they'll be there. And you have to really tap into your sense of passion and your sense of why you're doing this. Do you want to make a difference? Do you want to make society better? Okay, then find your way.
L.A. Chung is a freelance journalist. She recently left the San Jose Mercury News. She joined us from KTEH in San Jose, California. We were also joined by George DeLama, managing editor for news at the Chicago Tribune. He recently left the paper just last week and is on his way to China. He joined us on the phone from Chicago. And Athalia Knight of the Washington Post. She's been a mentor to so many young journalists and editors and directs the paper's Young Journalist Development Program. She joined us from our studio in Washington. I thank you all so much. I thank you for your work. And my very best for your future plans.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
Thank you.
To come. Summer blockbusters are coming. Will the cast on the screen be as diverse as the people in the audience?
If you're a big fan of diversity, summertime is not your season. You will be tremendously disappointed.
What not to expect on the silver screen? That's next on Tell Me More. I'm Michelle Martin.